பதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. This is Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 57. Itiresha tarkya nija mahamani swapramitike. Paratra jato ata nirasana mukha brahma kaumitau. அநீஷே அபி திருஷ்டும் கிம் இதம் இதிவ முய்யந்தி சதி. சாதஜோ ஜ்ஞாத்வா சபதி பரம் அஜஜவனிகம். டிஃபிகல்ட் டு ரிசைட் பட் ஸ்டில் வில் ட்ரை. ஐ எம் நாட் குட் இன் ரிசைட்டிங் ஸ்லோகா. இதிரேஷ தர்க்கே நிஜ மகாமணி ஸ்வப்ரமிதிகே. பராத்ர ஜாதோ தன்னிரசன முக ப்ரஹ்ம காமிதௌ. அநீஷே அபி திருஷ்டும் கிமிதம் இதீவ முய்யந்தி சதி. சாதஜோ ஜ்ஞாத்வா சபதி பர ஜவனிகம். இதிரேஷ தர்க்கே நிஜ மகாமணி ஸ்வப்ரமிதிகே. பராத்ர ஜாதோ அத நிரசன முக் ப்ரஹ்ம காமிதௌ. அநீஷே அபி திருஷ்டும் கிமிதம் இதி வா முய்யதி சதி. சாதஜோ ஜ்ஞாத்வா சபதி பரமோ அஜஜவனிகம். இதி தஸ் இரா இஷே லார்ட் பிரம்மா த லார்ட் ஆஃப் சரஸ்வதி இரா அதர்க்கே பியாண்ட் நிஜ மகாமணி ஹூஸ் ஓன் குளோரி ஸ்வப்ரமதிக்கே self-manifest and blissful, paratra beyond, ajataha the material energy, prakriti, atat irrelevant, nirasana mukha by the rejection of that which is irrelevant, brahmaka by the crushed jewels of the Vedas, mitau in whom there is knowledge, anishe not been able, api even, drushtum to see, kim what, idam is this, iti thus, va or muhyati, muhyate sati, been mystified, chado, removed, aja, Lord Shri Krishna, jnatva, after understanding, sapadi, at once, paramaha, the greatest of all, ajajavanikam, the curtain of maya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in His own bliss, and is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. Thus, in relation to that Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, whose glory has been shown by the manifestation of all the four-armed forms of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was mystified. What is this? He thought, and then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his yogamaya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Big purport, 3 pages, we'll read, then try to discuss. Brahma was completely mystified. He could not understand what he was seeing, and then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then removed the yogamaya covering. In this verse, Brahma is referred as Iresha. Ira means Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Iresha is her husband. Lord Brahma, therefore, is most intelligent. But even Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was bewildered about Krishna. Although he tried, he could not understand Lord Shri Krishna. In the beginning, the boys, the calves, and Krishna himself had become covered by yogamaya, which later displayed the second set of calves and boys who were Krishna's expansions, and which then displayed so many four-armed forms. Now, seeing Brahma's bewilderment, Lord Krishna caused the disappearance of that yogamaya. One may think that the maya taken away by Lord Krishna was Mahamaya, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that it was yogamaya, the potency by which Krishna is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. The potency which covers the actual reality and displays something unreal is Mahamaya. But the potency by which absolute truth is sometimes manifest and sometimes not is yogamaya. Therefore, in this verse, the word aja refers to yogamaya. Krishna's energy, his maya shakti or swarup shakti, is one, but it is manifested in varieties. Parasya shaktir vidaya shrute. The difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis is that Mayavadis say that this maya is one, whereas Vaishnavas recognize its varieties. There is unity in variety. For example, in one tree, there are varieties of leaves, flowers and fruits. Varieties of energy are required for performing the varieties of activity within the creation. To give another example, in a machine, all the parts may be iron, but the machine includes varied activities. Although the whole machine is iron, one part works in some way and other parts in other ways. One who does not know how the machine is working may say that it is all iron. Nonetheless, in spite of its being iron, the machine has different elements, all working differently to accomplish the purpose for which the machine was made. One wheel runs in this way, another wheel runs that way. Functioning naturally is a way that the work of the machine goes on. Consequently, we give different names to the different parts of the machine, saying this is wheel, this is screw, this is spindle, this is the lubrication, and so on. Similarly, as explained in the Vedas, Parashya Shaktir Vidya Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Krishna's power is variegated, and thus the same Shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Vividha means varieties. There is unity in variety. Thus, Yogamaya and Mahamaya are among the varied individual parts of the same one potency, And all of these individual potencies work in their own varied ways. The Samvit, Sandhini and Ladini potencies, Krishna's potency for existence, his potency for knowledge and his potency for pleasure are distinct from Yogmaya. Each is an individual potency. The Ladini potency is Srimati Radharani. As Swarup Damodar Goswami has explained, Radha Krishna Pranaya with Kritir Ladini Shaktir Smat. The Ladini Shakti is manifested as Radharani, but Krishna and Radharani are the same, although one is potent and other is potency. Brahma was mystified about Krishna's opulence, Nija Mahamani, because his opulence was atarkya, inconceivable. Within one's limited senses, one cannot argue about that which is inconceivable. Therefore, the inconceivable is called achintya, that which is beyond chitta, or thoughts and arguments. Achintya refers to that which we cannot contemplate, but have to accept. Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless we accept achintya in the Supreme, we cannot accommodate the conception of God. This must be understood. Therefore, we say that the words of Shastra should be taken as they are, without change, since they are beyond our arguments. Achintya khalau ye bhava natam starkena yojayat. That which is achintya cannot be ascertained by argument. People generally argue, but our process is not to argue, but to accept the Vedic knowledge as it is. When Krishna says this is superior and this is inferior, we accept what he says. It is not that we argue. Why is this superior and that is inferior? If one argues, for him the knowledge is lost. This path of acceptance is called Avaroha Bandha. The word Avaroha is related to the word Avatar, which means that which descends. The materialist wants to understand everything by the Aroha Bandha, by argument and reason. But transcendental matters cannot be understood in this way. Rather, one must follow the Avaroha Bandha, the process of descending knowledge. Therefore, one must accept the Parampara system. The best Parampara is that which extends from Krishna, evam Parampara praptam. What Krishna says, we should accept. Imam Rajasaya Vidu. This is called Avaroha Bandha. Brahma, however, adopted the Aroha Bandha. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he himself was mystified. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking, I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand, for one cannot bring Krishna within the limitations of Prakriti. One must submit. There is no alternative. Na tam starkena yojayat. This submission marks the difference between Krishnaites and Mayavadis. The phrase atan nirashana refers to the discarding of that which is irrelevant. Atat means that which is not a fact. Brahman is sometimes described as astulam anav ahasraswam adhirgam. That which is not large and not small, not short and not long. Neti neti, it is not this, it is not that. But what is it? In describing a pencil, one may say, it is not this, it is not that. But this does not tell us what it is. This is called definition by negation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains the soul by giving negative definitions. Na jayate mruyate va kadachin. It is not born, nor does it die. You can hardly understand more than this. But what is it? It is eternal. Ajo nityo shashvato yam purano. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying and primal. It is not slain when the body is slain. In the beginning, the soul is difficult to understand, and therefore Krishna has given negative definitions. Nainam chidanti shastrani, nainam dadhaka pavaka, na chainam kledanti apo, na soshati maruta. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by wind. Krishna says it is not burned by fire. Therefore, one has to imagine what it is that is not burned by fire. This is negative definition. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभ्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणे वंचाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण So I would like to take blessings from all devotees so can make an attempt to speak this wonderful pastime of Krishna bewildering our Lord Brahma. It's actually bewildering pastime, not only for Brahma. It's also, I read the whole section once. I could not understand many of the points, and still I am trying to understand. So by discussing, many of the points are cleared. We understand, at least we can make an attempt to understand what is this Leela all about. So this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam is very important for us followers of ISKCON, because all these purports are given by Srila Prabhupada when he was performing his final pastimes, 1977. So this is the last chapter Prabhupada translated. So these purports are very important and very much relevant for the devotees, because Prabhupada carries the same message. There is there is consistency of message which Prabhupada has been transmitting since 1965. If you see, Prabhupada is giving very down-to-earth purports, even though he was leaving his body. He was not speaking something which cannot be conceived by an ordinary person. This is 10th canto purports. And very practical, any layman can understand and really try to understand his own position and try to surrender to Lord Shri Krishna. Same consistent message is there. 1965, Prabhupada was on Jaladuta and he was in Markinya Bhagavad Dharma. He is praying to Lord that the whole atmosphere is surcharged with Rajogun and Tamogun. And who will understand Vasudeva Katha? Nobody is interested in Vasudeva Katha. Krishna Katha. And same thing, Prabhupada, through his whole Bhagavad Gita purports and Bhagavatam purports, previously just many devotees spoke very nicely on this verse. Last few purports, there was one purport where Prabhupada is saying in 10th canto, we have to come to the platform of Sattvagun. For us to know Krishna and know his pastimes is something like trying to touch the sky, something very inconceivable. So Prabhupada is very giving hopeful purports and very practical. He is saying, first come to the platform of Sattvagun. And how we can develop Sattvagun? Prabhupada says you have to get up early in the morning, attend Mangal Arati, and here study Bhagavatam every day. Hear and study Bhagavatam every day. So there is a consistency of message which Prabhupada has throughout his purports till 10th canto. This is the last chapter, therefore it is very much relevant for all of us. Each and every word what Prabhupada has spoken, what he has written, is very much relevant. And Prabhupada is speaking. If you have seen the video, Prabhupada is on the bed in Vrindavan, in his quarters, and there is the dictaphone and he is speaking. And just few words back, Prahlad Priya Prabhu spoke. He said that he was had the opportunity to speak on the same verse which Prabhupada was trying to explain, the purport. So all these purports are very much important, and so many devotees have given so much insight, and already so much is discussed about it. But still, we can repeat the so many lessons which we learn from this particular pastime. Because tendency is to forget, Kali Yuga. We have short memories. So every pastime of the Lord is so instructing. Krishna comes to the material world particularly and exhibits his cowherd, as a cowherd boy, just to attract. 12th canto explains that all Krishna's pastimes are very attractive. Ramyam. And they are relishable. Ruchiram. These are the five characteristics which Bhagavatam explains of Krishna Katha. They are attractive. Anyone will get attracted. At least for that moment he will be attracted to hear more about Krishna. What's happening? So there is a curiosity. And there is astonishment, as Brahma was astonished to see Krishna killing Agasur. So any person, whether a devotee or non-devotee, he will be attracted immediately towards Krishna. And they are really relishable, it is said. And they are ever fresh. Nutan. They are always fresh. They don't become stale. Just like any material thing, it becomes stale and it's perishable. But Krishna Katha, it's new. Every day we are discussing this chapter, not just today, but it's going on. This is the 57th verse. So that means 57 days we are repeating the same Katha. Same. And many points, many of the devotees, they may be repeating again and again. Because it's needed. Repetition is needed in Kali Yuga. Because we forget everything. So therefore, these are the characteristics. They are attractive, relishable, they are ever new. And they are manoso mahatsavam. They are eternal festival for the mind. And they dry up the ocean of misery. Everyone is miserable, whether one accepts or not. Material world means misery. So the more we hear Krishna Lila, the more we will be able to tolerate those miseries. Miseries will not go. The purpose of hearing Krishna Katha is not to reduce the miseries. The purpose of hearing Krishna Katha will help us to tolerate the miseries and serve Krishna in spite of miseries. Bhagavad Gita never says that once you read Bhagavad Gita, all the problems will be, you will become very happy. But till the point we have this material body and till we are staying in material world, we will be suffering. Only when we revive our loving relationship with Krishna, then only we can become happy. So all these pastimes, they will actually help us to face miseries in our life. We are staying in the midst of Kali Yuga and we are staying in midst of South Bombay. South Bombay is no easy area to practice devotional service. At least I can say about myself. Very tough to practice Krishna consciousness. If you are staying in village and there is no attire, there is no such maya as this thing. But here there are so many distractions. And anytime anyone can get bewildered. There is no need that Krishna shows his some pastimes to us and we get bewildered. We are already bewildered. We are already bewildered by the external potency of the Lord. So here, there are so many points, a very beautiful purport, around 7 to 8 lessons, but because we have limited time, I will just try to repeat what the previous devotees have spoken. How Brahma is getting bewildered. We will see that in short, and then we will speak about how submissiveness is important in devotional service. We'll try to speak on that particular topic. So if you go back right from the first verse, Brahma's stealing boys and calves, Sukadeva Goswami is glorifying Maharaj Parikshit. He is saying, you are the best of the devotees. Mahabhaga, fortunate. And Bhagavad Uttama, best among devotees. And now it is said, nearly 5.5 days have passed, 7 days, out of 7 days. But still, Parikshit Maharaj didn't have any water, no food, but he is not exhausted. Here it is said, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, that you are constantly hearing these pastimes. because you are perceiving the newness of these pastimes. Today's purport is very much relevant. As we practice devotional service as sadhakas, at least I can say for myself, many times after some time, we think that, yeah, I know this story. I know this pastime. What's new? Yeah, same thing is going to happen. I have read Krishna book. I have read Bhagavatam. But Sukhdeva Goswami is not saying, yeah, I know these pastimes. He is perceiving the newness, freshness of Krishna Katha. That is the first qualification to hear about Krishna Katha, eagerness. Here also, in purport, it is said that this submission marks the difference between a devotee and non-devotee of the Lord. A devotee is always submissive. He wants to hear the same katha again and again. Lord Chaitanya used to hear Prahlad Maharaj pastime, Dhruva Maharaj pastimes repeatedly. He never said, oh, I know this thing. So here in this purport, everyone thinks that I know something. That is just a manifestation of the false ego. So Brahma here, he thought that this is my master. He was astonished when Krishna killed Agasur. As a small cowherd boy, Krishna killing Agasur was really an astonishment for Lord Brahma. And therefore, thought came in his mind. Now Brahma is the secondary creator and he is a devotee of Lord. He is our Acharya. But Krishna through his pastime is showing that even the secondary creator, he can get bewildered. If there is false ego. So this is the pastime of the Lord, definitely. Krishna used Brahma. Krishna bewildered Brahma. He made him an instrument. Just like Arjun was made an instrument, Krishna made him an instrument. That doesn't mean that Brahma is like us. No. Brahma is a supreme living entity. Among all living entities, he is the supreme. Highly intelligent. Therefore, it is in this shloka, it is said, he is the husband of Goddess of Fortune, Saraswati. Now, one who is husband of Goddess of Fortune, he has full knowledge, he is getting bewildered. So, that's the nature of this material world. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in this purport that everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge. Thinking, I know something. I am better than others. Yeah, I know these pastimes. The moment we start thinking like that, I know something, the doors to the pastimes are closed. Everything is closed. And as soon as we think, yeah, really we are submissive and we think, I don't know anything, yeah, I should hear again. Maybe some deep insight I will get. Then automatically the doors are opened. Otherwise the doors are shut. Ultimately everything boils down to false ego. It's just because of the false ego, Brahma started thinking, yeah, I will test Krishna. Brahma is a great living entity and he has also mystic powers. But in front of Krishna, Krishna is Yogeshwar, his mystic powers were superseded. He was completely defeated. So, whole section till now is Krishna bewildering Lord Brahma. And this is the verse where now Brahma could not even see. We are not able to see. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavata. Yogamaya curtain was there. And therefore he could not perceive the Supreme Lord who is Master. He could not see anything. He was completely confused. When he came back after one moment, we will not repeat everything in detail. This whole pastime has been discussed for so many days. But just after a moment, now one moment of Brahma is 1 year of, according to human calculation. He just went, thought came in his mind. He was astonished to see Agasur being killed and thought came in his mind. He thought, he is my Lord, I will just try to test whether he is supreme. He thought that I am the supreme creator. So false ego can creep at any stage of devotional service. It's not that, no, I have done devotional service, now I am on a very balanced platform and no, there will be no attack. Brahma is getting bewildered. So anything, something, astonishment when we see, it touches the false ego. Consider on a material platform that if somebody is doing some amazing thing in life, the immediate it touches the ego. How come he is able to do? Doubt arises, astonishment. Any astonishing thing creates doubt in material world. You see something amazing, somebody is earning money. So immediately doubt comes. Maybe he is earning in a wrong way, fast money. He may be earning in a very genuine way, but immediately doubt comes because the ego is hurt. If somebody is better than others, we think our ego gets hurt. We cannot accept that somebody is better than us. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, everybody takes pleasure in his own knowledge. Even from a knowledge point of view, somebody is knowing something more. Then immediately, we have a doubt in the mind. Same thing happened with Brahma. He had a doubt. And he thought that let's test. And he just wanted to test, so he took away the boys and calves. And he went to his abode and he immediately came back in a moment. Because as soon as he went there in his abode, he was afraid and he was anxious, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport. And he took Maya Arbhaka. They were not the original cowherd boys and calves. Ananda Chinmayaras. All Krishna's cowherd boys, boyfriends and calves are direct expansions of Krishna. They are internal potency of the Lord. And nobody can take away the internal potency of the Lord. Ravan, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, Ravan wanted Sita, but he took Maya Sita. The original Sita was not touched by Ravan. Acharyas give commentary. Similarly, here the original cowherd boys and calves were not taken by Brahma. They were Maya Arbhaka. Such Krishna is such intelligent and is master of your yogic powers that he knew that Brahma now wants to play something. He wants to fool around. And he became a laughing stock, actually, Brahma. It's just like trying to measure ocean with a yardstick or trying to measure the sky with hand span. He just cannot be measured. So Brahma became a laughing stock, actually. He was not able to see. And then this particular verse, it states that now Brahma, seeing Brahma's condition, is getting more and more bewildered. Krishna decided, now I should remove the curtain of Yogamaya. And you see in the future verses that now he will be completely brought out of this illusion. And Brahma, understanding his insignificant position, though he is the creator, he considers himself insignificant and he submits to Krishna. He falls down, all of his foreheads bow down. In future verses we will discuss. He bows down to Lord Sri Krishna and offers wonderful prayers. Next 14th chapter, there are wonderful prayers of Lord Brahma which are offered by him to the Lord. So anything astonishment or surprising which happens leads to doubt. So one should be very careful regarding particularly the Lord, when he is dealing with the Lord and his devotees. Prabhupada writes in this purport that Brahma was mystified about Krishna's opulence, Nija Mahamani. How could the Supreme Lord be some small boy playing with the cowherd boys and calves? Nija Mahamani, that is the opulence of the Lord. The whole pastime, childhood pastimes are therefore they are very attractive. It is said in 10th canto that Vrindavan is not an easy place to stay. Now also it's not an easy place to stay. If we prematurely try to go and stay in Vrindavan, it's not an easy place to stay. You have to develop the mood. So even when Krishna was present, Vrindavan was not a very easy place to stay. Every day there were demons. And Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj were always in anxiety that what will happen to Krishna. That is their parental love, that out of affection, that they were feeling so much concern for the Lord. So it is said that they, though there were so many tribulations and miseries in Vrindavan, they were always discussing Krishna Katha. So therefore, they never felt the miseries, even though they were, from a external point of view, there were miseries. So they didn't perceive the miseries, because they were always absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Shri Krishna. So therefore, Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable. And therefore, Prabhupada writes here that we have to accept the Avaroha Pantha. That is, path followed by the great devotees. Descending from the great devotees. We cannot follow the path like what Brahma did. Brahma tried to understand Krishna from his own point. Own understanding. Aroha Pantha. Which is dangerous. The whole materialistic education is based on this particular concept. It's not on the Avaroha Pantha. Avarobandh means hearing from authorities in disciplic succession. Modern day education is theory being put by someone, other person comes and tries to supersede the previous one. And then he is awarded a big prize for that. That is just a manifestation of the ego. Defeating someone, so proving oneself I am the best. But the whole purpose of Vedic understanding, Vedic knowledge, knowledge is transmitted, the Vedic process is through parampara. If you see, no acharya tries to supersede the previous acharya. If you see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, always he gave whole credit to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all previous acharyas. Once Prabhupada was asked that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have done everything because he is Supreme Lord. He could have spread the chanting of the holy name on his own in every town and village. And even acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have done. But Prabhupada then very humbly said, no, they have left something to do for me. So that is the submissiveness. Prabhupada was so submissive to his guru and the parampara. He never took any credit that I know everything. It's only because I am doing everything is happening. No. That is the hallmark of a sadhu, submissiveness. That is the hallmark of a pure devotee, submissiveness. Prabhupada was so submissive. And Prabhupada once said that I liked to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was lion guru, Simha guru. So intelligent. And Prabhupada was also, he was following Gandhian philosophy before he came in contact with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And he argued literally, many of you must have read Lilamrut. He argued with Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And when he came down from Ultadanga temple, his friend asked him, how do you find this sadhu? So he said that, yeah, the moment is in the right person's hand. He was totally convinced that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was really happy to be defeated by his Guru Maharaj. But on a material platform, to be defeated, it hurts the ego so much. Taking a lower position is considered very low thing from material calculation. When we deal with the outside world, taking something like some fight is going on. Nobody wants to take a lower step. Just the thought came in mind, I would like to share. Many of you may be traveling and you may be having your own cars. Now Bombay, there are big roads. But as you go somewhere out of Bombay, the roads are very narrow. And you are driving a vehicle and a car or any vehicle comes from the front. Now the situation is that who will go down? Little bit one has to go down from the road, off road, so that the other vehicle can pass. And if it is not done, then they will be collide or they may brush and something will go wrong. So who will go down ultimately, till they come very close, nobody wants to go down. So false ego is such a strong thing that nobody wants to take a lower step. This is a very good example, I always think. Because I travel often and through buses and private vehicles, nobody wants to go. When the road is small, nobody wants to go off-road little. But unless you go, you cannot pass. You cannot go ahead. So better to take a lower position, go off-road little and you will drive fast. Otherwise what happens? Then there is always, they stop the vehicle and there are fights many times, or at least verbal fight is there. So it's just a manifestation of the false ego. The whole world is rotating under the central principle of false ego. This whole pastime, Krishna wanted to teach one of the important lessons. So many lessons to be learned, but one of the most important lesson, Krishna wanted to crush the ego of Lord Brahma. But at the same time, he gave pleasure to the mothers of the cowherd boys and the calves and the cows. Simultaneously, Krishna performs one activity, one pastime, but there are so many other things which takes place. It is said in one of the previous shlokas that Krishna wanted to give pleasure even to Brahma also. And therefore he bewildered him. And simultaneously, in this pastime, the affection of the gopis, who were the elderly gopis, who they always considered Krishna as their son, but they never got an opportunity to serve personally. One shloka it is said, they personally served Krishna. And they had more affection to Krishna than their own children. So, Krishna became their own child. He expanded through the Leela. He bewildered Brahma, but at the same time, he expanded as cowherd boys. And whole 1 year, he was performing this forest pastime of taking lunch with his boy, cowherd boys, playing with them, evening going back to Vrindavan. And all the gopis, elderly gopis, they personally served the Supreme Lord. So, in one sense, this astonishment, it led to affection. Brahmaji also, he was also astonished. Because the day this Leela was performed, it was Balram Jayanti, and Balramji didn't go to the forest with Krishna. But just 5-6 days before the year to be completed, he could not understand how much there is so much increase in affection by the gopis towards Krishna. Because all had expanded, Krishna had expanded. Eko Bahuswam, Krishna expands. That is the unlimited potency of the Lord, which Brahma could not understand. And even Balramji was astonished. And then Krishna clarified the whole situation. So even Balramji, though he is the Supreme Lord, first expansion, even he is also showing through his example that we have to really submit. He asked Krishna actually what happened. And then Krishna explained. Balram accepted, Krishna is my Lord, definitely. But he submitted. So therefore, this particular point, in this particular verse, there are so many lessons. This particular point is most important for sadhakas who are, like all of us who are practicing devotional service, sadhana bhakti. Therefore, this is most important, submissiveness. Unless we don't submit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees, it's very difficult to progress on the path of devotional service. And therefore, example is given that we cannot overcome Krishna. We cannot try to prove ourselves we are better than Krishna. Or for Krishna is something far off, at least for me. But in our ordinary dealings, many times, if we start thinking, oh, I am better than others. Oh, I am better devotee than other. Then all these things are closed for us. The doors are closed. We are trying to overcome someone, trying to show that we are better, then everything is spoiled. Yesterday Maharaj was speaking in Mayapur, we heard that simplicity about, he spoke about simplicity, a conclusion of the lecture. One devotee was telling that Maharaj spoke about simplicity. Simplicity means no duplicity, being straightforward in his dealings, honest. So these are the qualities which one should try to develop. Because all Krishna's pastime, if you see, if we don't have faith, it's just like materialist people think it's mythology. Kalpanik. Aisa kabhi hota hai kya? Is it possible that some small boy, he can lift Govardhan? Yesterday we had a big festival, nice, Govardhan Leela. For those who don't have faith, for them it's inconceivable that a small cowherd boy can lift Govardhan Hill. How is it possible? If an ordinary man, ordinary scientist can float some satellites and some few airplanes in the sky, why can't Krishna, who is the source of everything, he can do? But doubt. Therefore, conditioned soul is always astonished. And therefore, seeing Krishna's pastime, if we don't have faith and if we are not in association of devotees, seeing this Krishna's pastime, those who are not devotees and they don't have faith, they want to defy the existence of God. That's what is happening nowadays. Everything is surprising about Krishna. And therefore they defy. It's not possible. There is no God. I am God. There are people who say such things. And they have big organizations and huge followers. They say that I am God. Very powerful purport Prabhupada says here. That this is what is going on. Because not following the Avaroha Pantha. Following, trying to understand the Supreme Lord by logic and argument. Krishna cannot be understood by logic and argument. Is inconceivable. And therefore Jiva Goswami says, unless we accept this element of inconceivable potency of the Lord, there is no, one cannot understand what actually God means. So all these pastimes of the Lord, particularly this pastime, it shows that we cannot supersede Krishna, we have to surrender to Krishna. So therefore, it's just like Prabhupada writes in one of the purport to conclude, first there is a government, first it makes laws, They pass some resolution, they pass laws so that the citizens behave. They abide by the rules and regulations. But when just making the rules and regulations doesn't solve the problem. There are always people, rebellious people who don't want to listen to the laws. Huh? So therefore there is police department to curb such people. Huh? And there are some people who don't want to hear to the police also. So for them there is military. So who can defy the government of the Supreme Lord? That's the whole thing. If we try to defy, supersede Supreme Lord, then we will be defeated. Brahma was completely mystified, completely bewildered. Astonishment led to a thought that I should test Krishna. I will test my master. Now Brahma, it's not that Brahma is not realized person. He is Adikavi. Krishna is revealed in his heart, everything. So it's not that he was not knowing the Supreme Lord. But one thought came in his mind after seeing such beautiful pastimes, wonderful pastimes, astonishing pastimes. Let me test my Lord. But through the example, we can see that how astonishment led to perform such activity by Brahma, which bewildered him more and more and more. First he was bewildered by seeing Agasur, then he was seeing same Krishna with just a in his hand, having curd rice with fruits, walking around looking for the cowherd friends and calves. Seeing this, he thought, how could the Lord be just doing such pastime? Thought came, doubt. And then he was further bewildered when Krishna expanded into so many cowherd boys and calves. And he came back and he saw that in the cave he could see the same boys, and when he saw that Krishna is performing the same pastime again. Which is true? Say, Vrindavan, there is a place we went last year. Say, which place is, which is actually truth? These boys are truth, these are real, or these are real? He could not understand, completely bewildered. And to the further bewilderment, Krishna expanded the whole cowherd boys, calves, they got 400 forms. Beautiful explanation about the expansions. How they had 400 forms, beautifully decorated with tulsi, chandan, and very beautiful. Whole shloka is there, previous shloka. That caused further bewilderment. So the more we try to understand Krishna, more one starts thinking, more thinking about Krishna, I will try to understand on my own, the more we are bewildered. The more he became entangled. The whole Leela is, it's entangling. And ultimately, here, he could not see even anything. And seeing this, completely mystified, Krishna is the master of Brahma. So therefore he, out of mercy, he is now removing the curtain of Yogamaya. And therefore now Brahma in future verses we see that he is completely now come out of the Yogamaya, and now his next few verses you will see that how he is surrendering the Supreme Lord. And in the 14th chapter we will see his beautiful prayers. So therefore, to conclude, we can take so many lessons from this particular pastime, but in particular today's purport, that unless we are really submissive and follow the path given by our acharyas, we cannot progress into spiritual life. There is no entry into the pastimes of Lord unless we are submissive. Maharaj, every time he explains, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that trunadapi sunichena tararopi sahishuna. Everything, every time, per any lecture you hear, this is like the bottom line. That we have to become really humble and consider oneself very really insignificant. Once we think I am significant, then the problem starts. Then we will be bewildered more and more. And actually we are bewildered, anadikal. Since time memorial we are bewildered by the external energy of the Lord. Having birth after birth, taking birth again and again. So already we are bewildered. So this particular pastime is to take lessons from our acharya. Brahma is our acharya. That such a great devotee of the Lord is also been bewildered. So if we follow Brahma now, what he did? He realized beautiful prayers of submission. All his prayers are showing submission and surrender to Shri Krishna. So just by reading those beautiful prayers of Lord Brahma and following in footsteps of Lord Brahma, everything will be revealed. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki. Jai Hare Krishna.